Someone told you knee pain is just getting older? They were wrong. The Joint Relief Institute offers fast joint pain relief covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
Sunshine, 7 a.m. on Saturday. Time to talk to your favorite handyman.
I'm so happy to talk to you. You've been my go-to guy for years.
So cozy up with your coffee or get to work. But whatever you do, keep that radio on and tuned in to House Smarts Radio with Lou.
Who's better than Lou? Nobody.
On Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good day, sunshine.
The sun is shining. It is a beautiful morning in Chicago. Good morning, it's Lou Manfredini. This hour of House Smarts Radio is sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com, Permaseal Basement Systems, and by Ace Hardware. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Hope you're waking up, getting that morning coffee, doing a big stretch, which we're all doing in here as well. Good morning to you, Linz.
Can you hear me here?
I can hear you there. You just need to turn that up a little bit more.
How's this?
Very good. Morning to Joe Mati and to Joe. Nice to see you both this morning.
Good morning.
You guys
morning.
Will be heading out to Lollapalooza this morning?
I was just telling Mike, I'm not a Lolla guy.
No?
I'm too much glitter.
Are you a music guy?
I am a big music guy.
And what would you have eclectic taste in music?
I have a weird taste in music, but my problem with Lolla is you can't please everyone. So there's a mixed crowd of people who like different kinds of music. So somebody's super enjoying it, rocking out, and then there's someone next to you that's disinterested, and I think it takes away from the experience.
Hmm.
That kind of bothers me. I feel like when you're at a concert...
When did you become such an old man?
Bah, humbug.
Yeah.
Kids with the glitter. And I don't like it one bit, I tell you what.
When I walked in, Domati told me to get off his lawn.
I'm right. Like,
you know, back in my day, you went to a show because you liked the music.
So did you, even as a younger man, never did Lollapalooza? I mean, it's been here quite some time.
I've never really wanted to go.
Joe?
I've never gone. No, I'm not too big of a music buff. I probably would enjoy it, but only one or two bands. And for me, it's not worth it to, you know, spend that much money for a whole day event where I'm only going to see one or two, you know?
Yeah, it's my wife and I were talking about it. Our kids have been, well, the three of them, three older ones have all, like my oldest son, Quinn, has gone several times. And then Carmen's gone, and now Mal, this is probably her third time going, and they really like the music, they like that. But it's such a scene, and I have to be honest with you, I was a little concerned about security and safety with this, you know, with the recent stuff that happened in the news, and so we had, you know, I've always told my kids we can't live in fear, but you really have to be super careful. It sounds like the city really kind of upgraded, you know, like undercover officers there. And, you know, I heard, according to Mallory, very difficult to get in to the venue as well. Like they're
it's almost
really,
like TSA.
Yeah, right. So, what? Are you who? Oh, sorry. She's talking to me, talking to you. Sorry. But anyway, yeah, it's fun. I mean, I think it's cool for the city. I mean, it's an interesting thing that Chicago has always owned, right? This Lollapalooza thing, similar to Coachella, right out in Palm Springs where that happens. And so the idea of the whole music festival, I think, is really interesting, and it gets people into the city and enjoying it. It's going to be hot today. There's going to be a lot of sweaty people out there. So I'm not...
Yeah, 94 degrees.
Not for me. So, all right, nice to have you guys here this morning, and nice to have you listening. 312-981-7200, as I mentioned, is our phone number. A couple things coming up this morning. We are going to talk about a Noodaloo 2, which is a Bluetooth speaker, which we were cranking tunes this morning in the newsroom. And a lot of that stuff is very expensive. This is affordable, and it comes from a really good maker. So pay attention if you can. Coming up a little bit later on, around 7:50, we'll give you more information about that. And then, do you have issues with technology in your home and setting it all up and getting it to work properly? You know, part of the issue is that there's so many different platforms with this stuff, whether it's your smart television or your camera system or the type of computer that you use, is that the softwares tend not to all talk with each other. Well, there's a company, we're going to talk to one of the president and the co-founder of the company, that wants to be your go-to service when it comes to setting up technology in your home. or your office. And I think that you'll find it to be a pretty interesting conversation. That'll be coming up a little bit later on this morning at 8:30. So right now, let's get your phone calls, 312-981-7200. This is Ed in St. Charles. Ed, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Lou. Thanks for taking my call.
How can I help you, sir?
Well, I try to support my local Ace, and I bought some paint at the local Ace store. It's Feldspar Optimus paint and primer.
Okay.
And I applied it to a wood piece of furniture, and 2.5 weeks ago, and the paint is still tacky.
A wood piece of furniture that you
wood piece of furniture
that is outside.
Yeah, pardon me.
That's outside.
No, it was all inside. I painted it inside in air conditioning, you know, and I the wood piece was previously painted. I had sanded it lightly and then cleaned all that off and then applied a primer, which was a latex primer, to it and then applied this paint, and it's still tacky.
Hmm. What was the primer that you used?
I used Kiehl's latex.
Oh yeah, no, it should all bond. And this, what did you use? Did you buy like a quart of a semi gloss or something like that?
I did.
Okay.
It's a quart size can.
Okay,
right?
And it's a semi gloss.
It is.
Yeah. No. I mean, there's no reason why it should still be tacky. That thing should have been dry in 4 hours. You know, to the touch for sure.
Okay.
I mean, it could just be a bad batch of paint, and it's guaranteed. So. I mean, if you bring it back in there, they will either give you another quart or refund your money. But that
yeah, I called Ace and they had no answer for me. And then which I did.
Yeah.
And Valspar took down the numbers on the paint can and everything like that, and contacted me and told me the can of paint was too old to check. It's 5 years old. And they're going to refund me my money. Valspar is, but
right. Well,
I just wondered why the paint can would be 5 years old and still being sold.
Okay, so that paint was 5 years old, and you bought it brand new.
I did.
Yeah, just have them refund your. I mean, most of that stuff gets, you know, the typical shelf life of paint, unmixed paint. Was it mixed a color or was it just white?
Mixed the color.
Okay, so mixed paint, like if you, let's say that the paint was fine, right, and everything was great, you typically have about 2 years that paint is good for stored in your home, and that's if you stir it a couple times a year, you know, because the chemicals separate and whatnot. That can might have just been a can, a tint base that got, you know, it's not the type of thing that hardware stores rotate, they just sell. And so it might just be a product that, was sat on the shelf too long and just didn't get rotated, but it is guaranteed, and so you're going to get your money back. And the problem with the tackiness is the fact of the age of the paint. And so now the question is, what have you done so far to fix this problem? Have you done anything?
All I've done was kept the fan on it for a few days, blowing on it. That was the recommendation, but
yeah.
It's still tacky. And I guess that's my follow-up question is, what do I do now?
Yeah. So now I think what I would do is I would wipe down the tackiness with a little mineral spirits first and a rag, and then I would lightly sand it, and we got to cut that top finish coat is what's not drying. So lightly sand it down. And then you could either buy another can of the Optimus. It is actually really good. It actually is very good paint, but, yeah, I mean, I think you just got a bad can. And,
okay.
So I have no issue recommending that paint.
Okay.
But then once you sand that all down, no more primer because you already have it in the product. It is a paint and primer in one. And it could be because of the age of the paint, it didn't bond with the primer underneath there. I doubt that, but you gotta remember, you're talking about different film levels, and then the chemicals sit a long time in a bucket. They just don't last. It's like it's like Pepsi or Coke, where you gotta, you know, there's a date that you have to use it by because the sugars start to break down, and it really does make a difference as to how it tastes. So sand it all down, paint of your choice, in a latex version, and you should be able to, solve that problem once and for all. But it is guaranteed. You'll get your money back for sure. Thanks so much for the phone call. 7:22 in the morning. Lou Manfredini here with you. House Smarts Radio. We'll be right back.
Most people love the weekends. A little R&R, time with the family, maybe some celebrating. Unless you have a to-do list around the house a mile long. How do I find, when do I need to?
I don't know what to do.
Hey, you only know what you know. And what you don't know, maybe Lou does.
I'm not that smart, but I'm no dummy.
Give him a call with any of your home improvement questions. Now back to Lou Manfredini and House Smarts Radio.
I'm only one call away.
312-981-7200.
Save the day.
Barb is in Cary. Barb, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I am fantastic. It's a beautiful, beautiful summer day in Chicagoland. How can I help you?
Okay. My son is redoing a brick patio at his home. So we reclaimed the pavers, laid out the new pattern. He's short about a 10 by 10 area.
Ooh.
But the pavers were an old design zigzag brick. We cannot find them anywhere.
Yeah, that's probably true.
No.
I mean, the thing that happens with pavers is the patterns change all the time. And if it's an older design and they make those molds and then they go on to the next thing and then they go to, there's certain styles that are still around, but that zigzag pattern that you're talking about would be very difficult to locate. I mean, you could go to some brickyards and see if they have some laying around, but it is literally like a treasure hunt for you to figure out if you could find them.
Really?
I know, that's not what you wanted to hear.
I know, true.
Where is your son's home?
He's in Downers Grove.
Okay.
We live in Cary. We would really travel anywhere.
There's Illinois Brick. Hold on. How was that? That's my new ding dong.
Oh, beautiful.
Nah, I don't like it. You don't like it, right?
I don't like it.
I don't like it. Yeah, she's just being nice. Look, Barb was just being nice.
Honest, Barb.
Barb, be honest. Do you like this? Wait. Or do you like this?
Oh, the old one is a classic. That's what everyone
That's
knows.
That's what it is. It's a classic, right? I mean, the bike horn, it's... Right?
You're like the Debbie Downer from SNL. It's like, wah,
wah. Wah, wah. I even made a little stand for it and everything, and I got the button in my hand. It's very... Like, I'm holding the button here, and I have it on a microphone. I can make it go louder. No, it's just... It's not good. Okay. Illinois Brick, which is on, they have a yard along, I think it's 55.
Okay.
All right. And and I think they were one that made that pattern at one point.
Okay.
You could go to the yard and you could say, hey, you guys got any, old brick laying around? Now, whether or not they have a 10 by 10 area, that's, that's a lot of brick. But it's worth a try. And then the other company is Pavelock.
Okay.
I don't think their yard is around here, but you could look that up. And then the other way to go is I would call around to local nurseries and supply houses. So, in other words, there's Lurvy's, which is a landscaper supply outfit that they may have an old pallet laying around of that stuff, but you're literally gonna, you're gonna call and they're gonna like, I don't know what I have, and you're gonna have to go there and find out and take a look. And then if you do that, maybe you get lucky, maybe you don't. Thanks so much for the phone call. Have a great day. Quick break, and then we'll get to news right after this.
Hey, it's Quinn, host of the Deep Dish Sports Talk podcast. Now back to my dad and House Smarts Radio.
Kiki, do you love me? Are you riding? Say you never ever leave from a side.
Welcome back.
Because I want you and I need
you. There you go, Quinn.
Get off my back. There's your rejoin. 312-981-7200 is our phone number.
And I need you.
Let's talk to Karen, who's in Huntley. Karen, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. I have a question about smart meter blocking paint. My son lives in a condo, and up against one wall are about four smart meters.
Right.
And he's concerned about the emissions, and we started looking into things, and one thing I saw online was that you can buy this, like, blocking paint.
We're worried about the electronic emissions?
I think it's, like, radiation or whatever these smart meters emit.
Well, is that
radiation, yeah.
Is that a thing?
It is a thing. I looked online, there's like these paints, and it's like a really...
No, but is it a thing that the smart meters emit radiation?
Yes.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Some communities have fought and didn't want smart meters simply because of that fact.
I was unaware of that.
Yeah.
But the smart meters, to the best of my... Okay, Lindsay, next week I want to talk to somebody from ComEd about smart meters.
Okay.
And this topic, so we can actually find out exactly what's going on.
Wait, what is this question?
About the radiation emitting from smart meters.
Oh.
You were so excited.
Well, we switched our ComEd to like some eco, we thought it was going to be this economically and...
Oh, a different transmitter of electricity?
Our bill is through the roof now.
Yeah. No, this is, okay, but see, it's interesting, Karen, that you say this, because I'm familiar with the whole switch over smart meters. I've had several conversations about the topic with people from the utility, and the topic of emissions of radiation have not come through, because to the best of my knowledge, the signal that the smart meters emit goes through their transmission lines.
CNI, from everything I've been looking at online, is showing that some of it will come through the meter that is attached to your home. Like people hear a buzzing or there's something that bothers, you know, gives them a headache because of what's being emitted. And then when I was looking, there are these blocking paints that you put on the wall that the smart meter's on, but it's like a really black paint. I just wanted to know what you thought about those and
any
recommendations.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have any experience with that. My guess is it has some sort of, it has some sort of additive in the film to allow it to, my guess is it doesn't work because whatever the transmission is, I mean, think about it, right? You have a cell phone, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when the cell phone's in your pocket, and you go into a building, well, you can still get a signal, you can still make a phone call, right? And so,
correct.
Whatever, if in fact these meters are emitting something, then it's some type of signal that I'm sure can penetrate just about everything. Could it reduce it? Sure, but it sounds a little bit like snake oil to me. But I'll tell you what, I'll learn with you and I'll get the straight skinny on what's going on. I'll find out, I'll get someone on from ComEd, but I'll also do a little research myself. And I will have a definitive opinion for you next week.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah, because these are like $250 a gallon.
Yeah.
The paint.
It sounds a little bit like snake oil to me, just because of what I know about transmission of radio waves and signals. And if it is, in fact, radiation, I promise you there's no paint that's going to stop it.
Okay.
Okay, but... That being said, I'm not going to sit here and talk about something that I don't have enough knowledge about to talk about intelligently. I will get someone on next week from ComEd to talk about these smart meters and find out if, in fact, there's some issue. But I'll also do some research on the flip side of that, not just to take, you know, say what they're telling us, to find out if there's an alternative conversation to have about it.
Okay, wonderful.
All right.
And if there's any resolution or if there is something to do about
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. So, you know what? I'll mark this time down, 7:43, so like after the 7:30 news, whatever information I find out about this radiation and emissions we'll talk about, but then at hopefully 8:30-ish next week, we'll have someone on from ComEd to talk a little bit more about it.
Thanks, Lou. I'll be listening.
I appreciate you bringing that to our attention. That is interesting stuff. And, I mean, the one real huge upside about this smart meter stuff is that, you know, it gives the utility real pinpoint accuracy to find out about energy usage and if there's a power outage, all those things are really the effective side of what the meters are about. But I was unaware of any kind of emissions that may be coming from them. But I will find out more. Lou Manfredini, House Smarts Radio. We'll be right back. All right, time now for our new to Lou 2. How many of you have one of these smart speakers or these Bluetooth speakers you can connect to your smartphone or your iPad, whatever it is? They sound fantastic. They really are cool, but they're pretty expensive. Lindsay found one that kind of blends the best of both worlds. The great sound quality and an affordable price. Take a listen. It sounds like this. Yeah, it doesn't sound like that. The speaker's fantastic. It sounds like this. One more time. Like a well-oiled machine.
Sorry for party rocking.
Sorry. By now, Bluetooth speakers with built-in LED light shows are not really a new thing. We've seen multiple examples from JBL Flip to the UE Boom, starting at about $100 and up from there. But this weekend's new Tulu 2 might just be the speaker to beat this summer. At $59.99, the Soundcore Flare from Anker represents the most affordable model on the market right now. Even without the LEDs flashing, this speaker looks cool, and it's completely waterproof. And as far as audio goes, the Flare does a solid job of projecting clear, rich sounds at higher volumes than you'd expect for its size and price. Weighing in at just over a pound, it's about the size of a tall drinking glass. The Flare still has that cylinder shape that a lot of portable speakers do have, although this one widens at the base a little bit so it stands upright. The bottom panel is rubberized to keep it from dancing around the tabletops when you're vibrating that bass. And the LED light show happens on the 360-degree strip at the bottom, which you can customize to your mood, party, energy, chill, spring, or bedtime. Who's it for? Anyone on the go, students, and people who can't have nice things like me. You know, the people who lose or break things easily. Because like I said before, most of these speakers are well over $100. This Soundcore Flare is only $60. So if you break or lose it, you won't be super bummed. But it sounds as good as speakers significantly more expensive, so you've really got the best of both worlds. You can find out more at soundcore.com. We'll put a link up and a photo on Lou's Facebook page. So click your fingers on over there and get grooving, party people. That's this week's new to lose too.
This is the actual speaker playing through one of the microphones right now. I just have the microphone right in front of it. It sounds amazing.
She's a good girl.
Now I realize that most people are listening over AM radio. But in studio here, it sounds really, really good. One of the things that I noticed about this when Lindsay first sent it to me, it's made by this company called Anker, A-N-K-E-R. My brother-in-law, Matthew, who is Mr. Technology, he's really good and knows about all this great stuff. And years ago, he just sent me this Anker charging, what do you call it, power pack. Like to pet, you know, when to keep your phone plugged in when you're traveling, whatever. And he goes, oh, I use this all the time. It's great. And it's this little, small, you know, looks like a half a pack of cigarettes or something like that. And I still have it. It's years later. And I have purchased from this company, Anker, many different items. My iPad case that has a keyboard built in is an Anker. I've had a couple of them. And they worked amazingly well. They just make really good stuff. And so this is a substantial speaker. Feels good. $60.
Smells good.
It smells good, in your opinion.
You open the box and it's like a new car smell. It just has a good quality
smell.
Smell.
So if you're looking for a speaker that smells good,
yeah,
go to WGNradio.com or go to my Facebook page. Like us on Facebook. Lou Manfredini, or their website as well, is called soundcore.com, soundcore.com. Great for kids going off to college. Many of these Bluetooth speakers cost a lot more money. They sound good, don't get me wrong. I mean, the ones that you'll spend $150 on sound terrific, but after hearing this one, it sounds as good as any of those super expensive ones. and it comes from a really good quality manufacturer.
And it's waterproof. You can literally submerge it in water.
Oh, I didn't know that. Really? Mm-hmm. Well, that's fun. By the hot tub.
Pool time.
I know what I'm bringing with me today.
There you go.
312-981-7200 is our phone number. Karen's calling in from Woodstock. Karen, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Oh, hey, good morning, Lou. I have a question about my son just recently moved into his first house in April, and it's an old bungalow-style house that somebody had bought and kind of flipped. So they completely redid, you know, the main part of it, and they added dormers upstairs. And, you know, everything was brand new and gorgeous, and
okay.
They did a really nice job. Well, the house was built in the 1920s, so the basement is still the old basement. And once he moved in, of course, in the spring, we started getting a lot of rain and things like that, and he does have some seepage in the basement. Now, it's not flooding, but there is definitely water coming in. My first question is, isn't that supposed to have been disclosed in the contract? I don't know what the laws are on all that. But then the second part of the question is, he did have two estimates on the waterproofing of the basement, and one was like $5,200, and the second one was $4,000. So it's quite a big discrepancy. Is there much of a difference between the different larger, they're larger waterproofing companies?
Well, okay. The answer to your first question is you absolutely have to disclose if there was ever water in the basement, and if the seller, you know, claims, oh, no, we never had any water in the basement, it would be probably pretty easy to prove that a home built in the 1920s had water in the basement. And so, you know, the part of it is now you're going to create a situation where it's a he said, she said item. But, yes, it absolutely has to be disclosed if they know water was in the basement. And you may have some recourse to go back to them to get this paid for or get some sort of credit. But it, again, that is in, probably involves some sort of legal ramification to get that done. Now, as far as basement waterproofers, full disclosure, as you may know, I do work with PermaSeal to promote their business. And I was a promoter of them before I worked with them. And I think that they are, quite frankly, the best waterproofing contractor in the Chicagoland area, whether they paid me to say that or not, just because they have consistent pricing. I'm going to put you on hold just because we've got a bunch of noise there, so hopefully you can still hear us. They do consistent pricing. They know what they're doing. They offer you a lifetime transferable warranty, which other waterproofers do as well. But the fact of the matter is I know they'll do a nice job for you. And if you have multiple estimates and there's different pricing, you just have to decide who you feel most comfortable working with. If you were going to ask me, it would be the people at PermaSeal that I would have come and look at it. But you do have some legal recourse with this if they did not disclose and you can prove that water was in that basement. That is against the law, and people have to be honest and forthcoming with that information. I appreciate the phone call. It's 7:56 in the morning. We'll be right back.
Good morning, Lou. Thank you for taking my call. I listen
sure.
every Saturday.
Good morning, Lou. Thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
I listen to it every Saturday morning.
Well, you're my how-to man. When I have a question, I call you. You're how-to.
Don't be scared. Pick up the phone. Give Lou a call. He's live taking your questions till 10 right here on House Smarts Radio on the Voice of Chicago 720 WGN.
Welcome back. This hour of House Smarts Radio is sponsored by WetForget.com, Fox Home Center, and by PermaSeal Basement Systems. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Before we get back to your phone calls on Monday afternoon, as you know, the John Williams Experience,
neighbors mentioned,
is on from 1 to 3.
Boy, and put him in a house of detention.
Right. We didn't want to pay for it, so we cut it off.
Way.
It's a good song.
Yeah, it is.
You know, by the way, I have the Paul Simon Anthology CD, the two CDs.
Yeah.
And it's the breadth of music that man has created is unbelievable.
Yeah,
every
really.
Song, you're like, oh, my gosh, I forgot about this
song. I love this song.
I love this song. You can just play it over and over and over again. Monday afternoon, my wife and I were driving, and you started your show recounting your experience at the Blackhawks convention.
Last Saturday.
Which you really had a great time.
We did.
And you mentioned that at one point you had this connection. You felt like you had a connection with a player.
Oh, Lord.
And I was wondering if you could recount that story for our Saturday listeners that maybe don't listen on Monday because, you know, it was right at the beginning of the show, sometimes miss it, and it was really quite interesting. Could you recount that story?
Why are you doing this?
Because I thought it was really funny.
Jamal Mares was a 15-year journeyman in the NHL, third stringer, sometimes fourth line guy, but his last two seasons were with the Blackhawks. He's at the Blackhawks convention. He's working with youth programs and initiatives for the team and seems like a pretty good guy. Looked great. We were sitting there having a conversation. There may be a little tension between us because I was talking to him about the violence of the sports at times, and he was a rough player, so I don't know that he and I exactly were connecting on that.
Right.
But I thought we had a really nice chat, and at the end I said, you know, this has really been fun, and you look great. And so I just thought there was a little chemistry between us. And then he said, yeah, you look great, too. He said, that's a cool shirt you've got on. And I had worn a shirt that I particularly picked out. And I said, well, thank you. I like this shirt, too. And he says, tell me, does it come in men's sizes? And then I realized that we weren't connecting the way.
At all.
At all. You know.
Did you put a picture up of the shirt?
No, I did not.
Yeah, I think you should do that today if you have it.
It's a real tiny shirt, so you'll have to expand your view. You have to widen.
Oh, maybe he's a little bit larger man than you, and he just needed a larger size.
Well, he is, Lou, and I was going to play the, well, I'm taller than average card, but I'm talking to an NHL hockey player,
right.
So I don't think I've got any game.
Well, it was one of those things as we were listening, and of course, you know, my wife is not only a friend of yours, but a fan of yours as well, and we laughed out loud.
Did you really?
It was really quite
well,
funny.
I'm really happy for you, both.
And, you know, have a nice shirt on today.
Thank you, Lou.
Yeah.
It comes in men's sizes.
Do you pick out your own wardrobe? Do
I'm not going to talk to you about my clothes anymore.
Okay. All right.
But by the way, I think your notion that they have a doorstop at Wrigley Field, or when the door opens up, there's an ad there, is so very Lou Manfredini. But here's the problem with that.
Okay.
I'm getting tired of everywhere I turn, there's a commercial.
I understand.
So if the world is a little cluttered right now, I appreciate that the Cubs don't. And nobody monetizes real estate better than the Cubs, but I appreciate that maybe they aren't taking that opportunity.
Well, you know, I got Joe Brandon here, and he does sports with you as well later on today. And
play-by-play voice of the Kane County Cougars.
My father-in-law and I were sitting there at the game talking about a myriad of different topics, which we had a lovely time.
Yeah.
And we were watching the bullpen. We got there early, and the bullpen catchers were out on the field playing catch.
Yeah.
And we started to lament, who are those guys? Like, who are they? And I'm sure, you know, the White Sox have them too. Who are those guys?
Yeah, right.
Are they on the team? Joe, maybe you know this. Do they get, obviously they get paid, but that, they probably don't get paid like a player.
Oh, no. I don't know much, but I do know this. My son played baseball in college, and one of the guys that was on his college team is a bullpen catcher for, I think, the Yankees.
Okay.
He doesn't play for the Yankees, but he's a bullpen catcher for the Yankees.
Right.
So he warms up pitchers, but he's never going to get in a game.
Does he go on the road?
Joe may know. I suppose he does.
Yes, they do. They're not technically on the roster,
right.
But they dress up. They're with the players. Honestly, it's a fantastic gig.
Man. I want you to interview those guys. No. I think it would be an interesting, like, think about the White Sox. So here we are. We're the radio home of the White Sox, right? There are all these players that play for the Chicago White Sox that never see the field.
Yeah, sure.
But they are integral, right, to the point when the manager says, I need a new pitcher, he better be ready to go.
Mm-hmm. I think it would be frustrating, though, because you had to have played at a high level to be a bullpen catcher.
Absolutely.
So it's like walking somebody right up to the brink and they're going, yeah, but not you. We'll let you even play catch with the guy before he does it, but not you. So I don't know if that's frustrating for them or not. It'd be a question to ask in the interview.
Right.
And the players probably stay at the Four Seasons, but they all make $1 million. This guy's probably making $63,000. Do they drop him off at the Motel 6?
I don't know.
How does that happen?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure they stay where the rest of the team stays, but I do know. I know that they make a pretty decent living. You know who used to do it, and I think still does, the former color commentator for the Cubs on television, Bob Brenly, his son used to be a player in the Cubs minor league system.
Right.
Never really made it all the way up, and now he's a bullpen catcher for the Boston Red Sox.
I'm offering this to you. This would be a great Saturday morning conversation. Bring that kid in here from the White Sox and say, tell us about your story. You love baseball.
I do.
You have a son that played baseball at a high level in college.
I do.
So, I mean, that's all good, and this would be really interesting stuff.
Okay, I'm going to go and get ready for my show. But one other thing, just speaking of sharing good ideas, yesterday we had on, it's a nice podcast. You can listen to it if you go online to WGNRadio.com.
It's called The Mincing Rascals?
John Williams Show, just from my show yesterday.
Okay.
We also podcast it. The Mincing Rascals is there, thank you. But we had three people in the studio. One was a docent on the hop-on, hop-off bus. One was a docent on the architecture boat tour. And one was a walking food tour guide throughout the city and neighborhoods. Three of them sat here and just told stories about Chicago. I think that'd be a great segment for, say, Patty and Andre at night, where they could carve out an hour and do that. They're going to be regulars on our show, but it was really fun just to hear about pizza and tall buildings and famous Chicago personalities, and that's one of the podcasts on my webpage. Thank you, Mr. Fix-It.
Thank you, John. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Let's talk to Gary, who's in Oak Park. Gary, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Yeah, I'm getting ready to paint my ceiling, and I want to find out if there's any kind of a matching that we, not matching, but some kind of a taping system that I can get along the sidewall so I don't get the ceiling paint on the sidewalls.
Oh, my gosh. There is. And we're actually featuring it. We're going to feature it as a new Tolu 2 product where it's an edging system that you put on the end of a pole and you can take it right up to the ceiling. So you're going to paint the ceiling, right?
The ceiling first, and I'm going to paint the sidewall so I don't get the...
You put this on a pole, and it's got a pad, and it's got a little tiny cut wheel that you go right in the corner from the ground, and you come across it, and you hit it one shot, and it'll give you that edge. You don't even have to get up on a ladder. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to keep listening. Lindsay just stepped away, and she'll be back in about 5 minutes. And when she comes back, I'm going to get the name of that product, and I'm going to tell you where you can buy it. And we're going to talk about it on the radio in the coming weeks. But it's a company that actually first invented an edger for professional painters that do spraying of production houses. So, in other words, when they're painting a huge development where there's, 150 houses, they'll spray paint those houses, the entire interior and exterior. And this is a wheel that they would put on the end of the spray tip and run it across the edge, and they just do it. You know, these are pros, right? And they'll knock out a room in an hour because of this technology. They came up with an edging system for homeowners that you use by hand that is amazing. So what I want you to do is keep hanging on, Gary, just keep listening. Can you listen for another 10 minutes or so?
Oh, of course.
All right,
of course.
Keep listening, and then I'll give that information out over the air, okay?
All right, thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate you calling this morning. 312-981-7200. This is another Gary who is in Westmont. Hey, Gary, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Okay, thank you. I have in my bathroom, the tub is a jacuzzi, and the panel that hides the wiring and the tubes is connected by Velcro. I mean, it holds the panel.
Yeah.
The Velcro doesn't work anymore. I can't peel off the Velcro on the tub because it's like, stripping paint off a siding. It's going to rip it off. Is there anything that you can put on Velcro to make it work again?
Is the what the part that's on the motor of the on the housing of the tub, is it the cloth or is it the loop?
Well, it's a vinyl, looks like a vinyl 3x2 sheet of vinyl. It's just like a cover that connects to the side.
No, I understand, but you said the Velcro doesn't work anymore, and which part of that is on the tub itself? Is it the cloth part or the loop part?
Oh, let me see real quick. They're both.
Oh, it's both?
Okay. Yeah.
Do you have a little wire brush?
Yeah.
Okay. Take a look on the cloth side of the Velcro. take a wire brush and try and raise up the loops again with the wire brush. Try to get it to stand up a little bit.
Oh, I see.
And and if you do that, you might be able to restick it. If not, then you may, you know, what you could try and do is, well, you're going to have to scrape that off somehow. And what can help you do it is if you use a hair dryer to warm up the glue that's holding it in place. Use a hair dryer, then use a putty knife underneath it. Maybe use a plastic putty knife so that it isn't as aggressive and won't scrape the vinyl or the acrylic, rather. And then remove it using the hair dryer and the putty knife. And then you can buy new strips of Velcro or hook and loop, whatever it might be at the hardware store, and replace what you have to hold it in place. But you may get lucky with the, wire brush just to stand up the fabric side of the hook and loop, and then should grab.
Oh, that makes sense, yeah. Well, thanks a lot.
You got it, sir. Appreciate you calling this morning.
All right, bye.
Take care. 8:22 in the morning. You're listening to House Smarts Radio on 720 WGN. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Lou. That's right, that fix-it guy. Right here on House Smarts Radio on the Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN.
Over the horizon, so sailing, he's kind of deep sea. Now she headed east down the border, the wall.
Welcome back.
Sure. Said I like the way.
All right. So the gentleman, Gary, called about that edging thing that we saw. We're actually going to feature this on as a new to Lou 2. The company is called Titan Tool. Their website is titantool.com. And they have this spray guide that is available to use by hand as an edger. And it's amazing. Let's see here. I'm going to find the exact product line. When you go there, titantool.com, you'll find it on their website, and you'll probably find it at hardware stores and professional suppliers of painting supplies. Titantool.com is the website, Gary. So go there, and you'll find that edger. Now let's go to Franklin Park, where Ken is on the line. Ken, you're on WGN Radio. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. I've got a problem with my brick chimney. I've got the white powder, I guess it's lime, leaching out.
Okay.
In about a small area, maybe 3-4 feet off the ground, 3 or 4 square feet of it. And I went to my local Ace and I bought some muriatic acid and I mixed it like it said, 10-to-1, and I did it and it bubbled up and got real nice and looked good. And I hose it down because it suggested don't let it dry.
Right.
Well, next day it was back.
Right.
So next day I went 5-to-1, and the next day it was back.
Right.
So then I went 3-to-1 and 2-to-1, and now I finally wound up going
100%.
100%. And it's still coming back.
Right. Now this chimney, you said that this area is about 5 feet off the ground.
Yeah, I can easily get at it.
So it's from the ground up 5 feet or just at that level?
Just at that level.
Okay, and tell me what services, what this chimney services.
It's actually probably nothing now because it's just the flue, excuse me, from my furnace, which is in a liner, and the water heater, which goes into that liner.
Right. The water heater goes into the liner, and so that's all that this chimney is working off of, the water heater, basically.
Yes, yes.
So you've got some buildup of moisture inside that chimney that's then leaking and wicking through the brick, okay?
Just at a small point like that, though?
Well, what I think is... Is your chimney liner disconnected for some reason right there where the water heater is? Now, if I'm at that 5 foot level, where am I inside the house? Am I on the first floor? I must be, right?
You'd be on the lower end of the first floor.
Lower
when I walk in the house, it's 4 steps up, and I walk down to the basement, it's 8 steps down.
Okay. And that water heater comes into the liner through the chimney, and then they connected it all inside the chimney. I bet you've got some breach in the liner that's causing the moisture to build up, and it's just pumping it right there at that level where the brick is absorbing that moisture from the water heater when it's running, and that's why you're getting that leaching. So you may need somebody like a Lindemann chimney to come and run a camera down there to find out what's going on.
Okay.
The fact that it's so localized at that one section just leads me to believe that something is disconnected. Because you should have, if it was absorbing moisture, the brick should be absorbing moisture consistently throughout. And if you're not seeing evidence of it anywhere else.
No, just in that 3 or 4 square foot area.
Right. Now, another thing you can try besides the muriatic acid, and you got to be really careful with that stuff.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Can you really do?
Yeah, goggles and rubber.
Right. Yeah. I have always kind of recommended that you use CLR, and you can use that full strength because that's lactic acid.
Yeah.
But because it's a little less harmful and because there's more water in it, it's not, you know, it tends to absorb into the brick and helps to neutralize that a little bit. But, you know, muriatic acid, or what, if you were a pro and you are now an official pro, uses on this product. And so the fact that it's still pumping out and doing that, I would have that chimney inspected and see what's going on with that liner.
And Lindemann Chimney will do that.
CleanFireplace.com.
CleanFireplace.com.
.com. You're a good man, Charlie Brown.
Very good.
You have a good day. I appreciate you calling this morning. We'll get to news right after this.
He's taking your calls till 9.
How can I help you, sir?
We're debating on putting in a tankless system. Now, I don't know anything about tankless. Can you help me, sir?
Lou Manfredini.
Sure. Well, they don't have a tank.
Here he is now on Hub Smarts Radio.
I'm actually here till 10. What, you just start here?
Such a good rejoin. Look at the beauty of the rejoin.
The beauty of the rejoin is great. How about the music? I know.
Are they a mala?
So, no, what happens is I will hear a song on the radio, and I will text Lindsay, rejoin with this song, and I'll tell her, do the hook. Use the hook of this song for a rejoin. She's like, how do you know this stuff? Because I do research. I'm always working.
You know what I was thinking? This made me think of when I was, when you said the hook. And I was thinking about this last night as I was putting it together. I produced for Steve Bertrand years ago when I first started. And it was some song that he wanted me to play. I want to say it was like a political song from by like Pink Floyd, maybe. Did they do a song that's like... But I didn't know the song, and I didn't know anything about pressing these buttons back here in the studio, and he's like, I want you to come back, just rejoin with this, and I'm like, okay, sure, but I didn't, so I just hit it, and the song starts, I don't know what the song is, it starts with, like, wind blowing. Do you know what it is?
By Pink Floyd?
I think it was Pink Floyd.
All right.
But he's like, are you playing it? Like, on the air? Like, yes, I'm playing. He's like, you didn't play the hook. I mean, he was not that mean, but.
That is so Bertrand, by the way.
He's not. So just so everybody scared. Knows, everybody thinks Steve is so nice. He's really not.
No, I know.
Right. I mean, John Williams, I think, is just pities him and has him, you know, talks to him like they're friends. Most people, you know, when you walk through the hall, right, Domati? Steve always says, don't make eye contact with me. Don't talk to me. He does that all the time. He's such a prima donna.
He's
right?
I'm scared.
Are you playing it?
Are you
I can read
it?
A log.
Yeah.
Hey, early. No, Steve Bertrand is a terrific young man. I've known him for 25 years.
And then young over man, the way, here's another Steve years. Bertrand story. Okay. When I first started, too.
More Steve Bertrand bashing.
I was an intern on Spike's show, and I was bringing my sister in. She was in town for whatever, and I was like, showing. I'm like, this is where I'm working, my intern.
Look at all the
Kathy
buttons.
Kathy and Judy were in the back, and Steve was back there in their like office. And I said to my sister, this is Kathy and Judy, and then Steve went, I'm Joe, and he was trying to do that, I'm Coco, I'm whatever that.
Right.
So then for like a year after that, I thought his name was Joe. Well, he said his name was Joe. See, he's really scary.
Yeah, right. Tall, scary, he's not nice. He's not nice. Hey, real quick, before we get to our guest talking about smart home setups, we were chatting with someone that talked about these smart meters, and Bob Ferguson was kind enough to just, I'm going to get a lot more information, but this is from the American Cancer Society, and they have a quick little sheet about these smart meters, and this is just one paragraph. Again, the caller this morning was asking about smart meters and their emissions and the safety of these smart meters as to your home and what you are perhaps exposed to when you're operating these things. Smart meters are typically installed outside the home, either in place or as part of an existing meter. How much RF energy that people are exposed to from the smart meter depends on how far away from the smart meter antenna and how the smart meter sends its signal. The frequency and power of the RF waves given off by a smart meter are similar to that of a typical cell phone, cordless phone, or residential Wi-Fi router. Smart meters typically send and receive short messages about 1% of the time. So that's just one little slice of something that came off of the American Cancer Society website as it pertains to smart meters. We're going to try and get someone from ComEd on next week to talk a little bit about that and perhaps address this concern, and we will figure out what we can learn about them and the exposure there. Okay, switching gears. Speaking of smart homes and technology, for many of us, it's an issue to try and get it all set up. There's a company called Pulse, and joining me on the phone line right now is Itai Hirsch, who is the president and co-founder of Pulse. And Itai, it's nice to speak with you this morning. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, good morning. Thanks so much for having me.
Tell me and our audience here on WGN a little bit about your company and what it is you folks do.
Sure. So Pulse.com is an on-call, on-demand tech support, repair, and install company. Essentially, what it means is every user can click a button, go on our website from their PC or mobile device, identify the issue they have, their location, and as early as 60 minutes, one of our amazing skilled vetted technician will show up and provide things like iPhone repair on the spot, TV installation, smart home set up, and so on. We're live in more than 50 U.S. markets today and growing extremely fast.
And so you're really sort of this full-service tech support / almost even consultants, right? Because if someone were to have, a home theater system that they needed help with, that's something you could do as well, right?
Absolutely. So when we provide the in-home service, we always consult our customers and advise them on the newest and best technologies, the best setup, the best integration that will fit their homes. We really take our time with the customer to make sure the experience is great end-to-end.
What have you found, Itai, that is one of the biggest challenges for let's take it from a homeowner's perspective, you know, when it comes to all this smart home technology, is it the fact that many of these devices are using different platforms and they may not all communicate with each other as seamlessly as we would like?
Absolutely. So I think there's two main concerns when you think about smart homes. So one is actually get somebody to your home to help you with it. Usually takes long days. Pricing is really all over the place. You're not sure who you're getting, what kind of technicians, if they're vetted, if they're background checked. So we solve all of that. Really, we allow our customers to click a button, see the price right there. We give a one-hour time window, and as early as 60 minutes, our technician can be at your location. The second part is exactly what you mentioned, which is there's a lot of smart home devices out there, from smart thermostats, lighting, you know, smart speakers. They don't always necessarily intuitively connect with each other, and there's really a lot of use case of how to use them in a home. We aim to solve that. So as I mentioned, we can consult the homeowner, not just install the device, but also onboard that device into the home, connect the device to the consumer's app, and really teach them of how to better use that device and not just install it and kind of leave. And there's always a concern post-installation, we're there to help our customers anytime really they want.
Yeah, and I think that the interesting thing, at the most basic need, which is probably I would imagine one of the biggest calls is, like, in repairing people's phones when they break them, you guys will actually come to a home or an office to do that work. So you can, from a convenience standpoint, it's really quite amazing.
Yeah. So when we started our company about 3.5 years ago, the first vertical we tackled is exactly that, fixing smartphones. And what happened is that if you break your phone today, the alternatives are really horrendous, right? You have to either drive to a local store, look for parking, try to, you know, hand your device to a stranger. It really takes a lot of time. Pricing is all over the place. Quality is really inconsistent. With our solution, with the click of a button, we can send a technician. Our proprietary technology match makes their most relevant technician based on their inventory skill set. The end result is that our skilled, amazing technician will meet you anywhere you are in the city. It could be at a Starbucks, at your home, at your office, even at your gym, and really repair the device on the spot. The average time is about 20 minutes, so you don't have to lose a lot of time from your day. And as you know, we're pretty helpless when our mobile device is not working.
I was thinking about this, too. You know, we are in this... we're in this mode right now where you've got a lot of entrepreneurs and startups who are working out of whether it's their home or the small office space. My producer Lindsay's husband works in an office here in Chicagoland, but essentially by himself, right? It's not a he's mostly on the road, but when he's in this office, he probably doesn't have any tech support other than him.
Right.
I think I remember the story when he set up the office. He was the guy doing all the plugging in of everything, right? And certainly he's got knowledge, but that would be such your service would be such a valued asset to sort of these small startups that maybe have, you know, two or three people in an office and they've got three or four computers that they want to connect to each other. And if they ran into a problem, it seems like that would be quite the sweet spot for a company like Pulse.
It's an interesting point, right? When we launched the company, we focused more on the end consumer. What we quickly found out is that small businesses, you know, ranging from one person in office to 500 employees, really don't have the right tech support when they need it. And really services kind of all over the place. So we do have a lot of customers meet, you know, ranging from just a few employees to companies that have thousands of employees.
Right.
And we're essentially their IT tech support company, which is really convenient to get a service when you want. You don't have to worry about, you know, payments, and you don't have to worry about when will the technician arrive. Everything is transparent. You can see exactly the progress. So it's a really cool experience for the employees and the business owners as well.
Itai Hirsch is the president and co-founder of Pulse. Their website is PULS.com for your tech needs, both for business and at home. This might be a company you may want to check out. Itai, thank you so much for talking with us this morning on WGN Radio and on House Smarts. Hope to talk to you again soon.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
That's cool. It's a really cool idea, and kind of have your own tech people, especially for smaller businesses where these guys can come in and really handle it. I love the whole idea of you break your phone and you're at work and you can call them and within an hour they're there to fix it. That is awesome. Can you imagine the amount of...
David, are you listening?
Why is his
Take
phone
note.
Broken? Is his phone broken?
It's always broken. You know what it is? He doesn't put a case on it. He doesn't like the feel of case so that it like slips out and those cases are protective.
It's interesting to me that the phone companies that they make these phones like the Apple and stuff, isn't there one of them that just came out with, the Galaxy phone now has an unbreakable screen?
Yeah.
It would seem like we can send people to the moon. Can't we get a screen that doesn't break? Right? I sound like such an old
man. Moneymaker.
Lou Manfredini here with you, House Smarts Radio. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Let's take a call before we have to get a break. This is Lee in Mount Prospect. Hi, Lee. You're on WGN. Good morning.
Hi, Lou. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
I got a question on, I've got kind of a weird thing going on my driveway. When it rains, there's areas in the drive where water seems to come up through the concrete. And I called the village to see if they could have someone check, I don't know what you'd call it, their water draining system.
Sewers.
See if there might be some,
right.
Yes, some blockage out there causing rainwater to pick up. And they haven't seen anything. And I'm just wondering, have you ever heard of anything like this?
Okay, you have a concrete driveway.
Yes.
And where do you see this water? In other words, it gets absorbed and comes up and puddles, or you just see that it's a wet spot?
Well, it's it's a wet spot. There are a few areas where there's a little bit of puddling, but for a long time, I have a two-story Tudor home, and I thought when it rained, the water from the second story was going down the downspout to the gutter on the first floor, and somehow it was splashing over.
Okay.
And for a long time, I thought that was the issue. And then more recently, I noticed this in the garage. And it doesn't seem to be, there seems to be no backup, like, in the house in terms of toilets or sinks or anything like that. And it only happens when it rains. And what they said, too, is that the water tables are up because of all the rain we had in, I guess, May and June. No, that
right.
seems like
right.
a long time ago.
Yeah.
Now,
let me ask you one other question. This has been happening for years. This has just started happening.
Apparently, it's been going on probably for a few years.
Okay.
Outside, as I said, I thought I would notice it, and it happens to be where a downspout from the second floor goes to the gutter on the first floor. And I thought the water was
right.
You know, splashing out. But when it happened in the garage, which is just recently, it occurred to me that whatever's going on in the garage is
right.
probably what's happening out in the.
Do your downspouts go into the ground, or do they splash on top of the ground?
They splash on top, but the house years ago, this house was built in the early 30s, if they must have gone into the ground, because I can see a couple areas where downspouts, that hole, so to speak,
is still there.
Was filled with concrete.
Got it.
And I've been here 35 years, and, there's no downspout going there in that time.
All right, a couple of suggestions. I would probably pay attention to the downspouts and the leaders that come off of the house and make sure that those are extended away from the home at least 3 feet.
Yeah, it is. I get them going 5, 6 feet.
Oh, really? Okay. The potential for that you had underground drainage pipes that connected to the sewer and that were years mm-hmm. ago.
Yeah.
You could have a collapse or a break that's underground that is causing this to fill up with the groundwater, and then it's channeling it back towards the garage area where it's getting absorbed and pooling. And the same can be true if those pipes ran under the driveway. Those are potential issues that could come up. The only way you're going to know this is to have those areas that were concreted over those pipes opened up and then have a camera sent through there to see what they can see, like a sewer camera. Now, it's a little bit of a, archaeological event because we're not quite sure what you're going to find. But it has to be some sort of groundwater issue that's being redirected towards your home, and I bet it's those pipes that have been abandoned because they concreted over, but they're just concreted over right next to the home. The rest of the pipe is wide open, I'm sure. But
you're talking about the pipes from the downspouts?
Correct.
They
were abandoned years ago.
Yeah.
And so the ground could have shifted. They can be pitched back. The ground, it has been very wet. I mean, the thing is that now, we haven't had any rain substantially now for, a couple weeks, right?
Right.
I'd be curious to see if we get a decent rain over the next week or so, if you see any evidence of that or if the ground's able to absorb it. But I bet
had a light rain earlier this week,
which
surprised me.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't that heavy rain.
Right. I bet it's those pipes underground. And
what happens if I don't do anything, do you think?
Well, I mean, is there enough water that it's a hazard to you?
No, I'm just worried about, could it come through the basement, but it never has.
Yeah, I mean, could it? Sure,
no.
Potentially, but I mean, if you haven't seen any evidence of it now, I mean, the concrete can get wet, that's not a problem, but if you really want to solve the problem, the only way to do this is to televise those pipes to find out what's going on. Lee, thanks so much for the phone call, and good luck with that project. You're listening to House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini, on 720 WGN. We'll be right back.
Hi, we're We're the Sons Manfredini, Max
and Quinn.
Now back to the big guy, our dad, Lou Manfredini, and House Marks Radio.
Welcome back. Thank you, boys. This hour of the show is sponsored by Ace Hardware and by Rogers Roofing. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Mary Lou's in Palos Heights. Hi, Mary Lou. You're on WGN.
Oh, hi, Lou. I'm so glad to talk to you for taking my call.
Absolutely.
I'm standing in my kitchen dancing with your music. Anyway, my daughter lives in Downers Grove. The last week, you talk about walk like a man, she has had these huge ants coming from her cathedral ceiling down the wall, and they're like ants come up from 2x2, hurrah, hurrah. It's a straight line coming all the way down the wall to the
from the ceiling.
The ceiling. Okay. And her husband went up there and caulked where he thought was a little hole or something.
Right.
Didn't work because they're still coming in.
Okay, if we have ants coming down from the ceiling, there's a good chance that there is a small leak somewhere, and that moisture is creating an environment that's advantageous for those ants. So on that cathedral ceiling, it's probably important for you to have someone come out and check the flashing in the areas around that part where the ants were seen. Now, the other thing where he covered up the hole where they came through, I actually want him to go back up on that ladder and uncover that hole. Do you have a pen or a pencil?
I'm going real faster.
All right. There's a.
I mean, I'm writing it. Cover hole.
Okay.
Got it.
There is a ant spray called TAT. T-A-T. And it is it's a highly effective spray with a little bitty plastic tip on it, almost like what you would see on WD-40. And I want him to poke it in that hole, and I want him to pull that trigger, and I want him to count to five and spray it. And then tomorrow, I want him to do it again. And then the next day, I want him to do it again. And that combination, there's got to be some nest up there that he needs to kill with this spray. But there's a leak somewhere that's causing moisture in that cathedral ceiling that's creating a breeding ground for them that they need to address. Inside the home, you can use things like taro ant bait stations or Bonide Revenge, which they have also a product that works really well on the inside of the home. But if it's coming from the ceiling, we have to address it up there first because that's where they're going back.
Okay. Okay, and that stuff for downstairs, taro, T-E-R-R-O?
Yep, taro, T-E-R-R-O, and Bonide, B-O-N-I-D-E, Revenge. Like, I want revenge on my ants. And you can get all that at your Ace Hardware store. And if you do that, within a few days, you should be able to solve the problem. Appreciate the phone call. Let's talk to Annette, who's in Bensonville. Annette, you're on WGN.
Yes.
Good morning.
Well, good morning to you. This is a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you so much.
I have a really important question. I was listening to your broadcast earlier today and heard about a man with leaking bricks or something around his fireplace.
Okay, around his chimney,
and,
right?
Yeah, and there is something that you get. Is it saltpeter that is what you're talking about, why you needed to do muriatic acid to...
Correct. It starts to break down from the chemicals in the mortar and the brick as moisture hits it, and then the air on the outside just kind of draws it in. It's almost like it's almost sucking it out, and that's why you see the effervescence that comes out onto the brick.
So that is called saltpeter.
Well, it's part in there, correct.
Okay. Well, at least I knew something about a brick, and I want to know if I'm going to... I want to know if I'm going to be ruining some nice planters. I moved into Bridgeway of Bensonville, which is a retirement center.
Okay.
And we have outdoor... Each apartment has an outdoor deck. And I went ahead and got some beautiful, big, old, new planters that I could put on the rails. and enough to put a lot of nice-looking annuals in there.
Okay.
And I'm wanting to take some of that dirt away, of course, as a gardener. I know not to use the same dirt. But I put bricks in the bottom of each one of these, not wanting to have anything fall on the people's head below me. So I went ahead and I'm now thinking that next year's crop might not be as nice looking as what I have this year because of the dampness of the bricks that are sitting in the base of my planters. Is that going to be a problem, or should I just finally get them out of there and do something different for weight? I just don't
want. So, in other words, you have a railing, and you have what are they sort of rectangular?
Yeah, these
planters?
Are elongated, couple of long. Well, they fit over the rail edge, you know.
And they're just sitting there, and the weight of the bricks is what's holding them there.
No, it's my idea.
Oh, I see. No. But in other words, you're obviously up on a second floor.
Yes.
So if I were to bump into these things, they could potentially fall over.
No, not really. But I didn't know because never having done this before, I thought maybe I better weight these things down before I put the dirt in.
Well, I think that what I would do if you're going to put something on top of your rails, which can look very nice, I would try and mechanically fasten them somehow. Whether it's putting a screw through the bottom of the planter into the rail, is the railing wood or synthetic?
Yeah, it's wood, but I don't feel comfortable since, I'm renting my apartment. I don't know if they would be very happy about me putting holes in there.
Okay, well, one other option that you have, if you don't want to put the holes in the railing, you could do a little metal strap on the bottom where you would go under the railing like a belt. And then you would screw into the bottom of your planter.
Yeah, which needs to have ways anyway to drain for the water.
That would help you as well. And then you don't have to do two answers to your questions. The brick inside the dirt really won't be an issue as far as the health of your plants. The whole idea is that, yeah, you're going to water that. That brick's just going to stay wet. And actually, from a gardening perspective, if you were watering that dirt and the brick got wet, it would actually retain some of that moisture and help keep your plants moist longer. You wouldn't have to do as much watering. So that would be kind of an advantage. But I wouldn't count on the bricks being what you would use to keep the planters there. I would be concerned that they would fall over if you tripped into it or bumped into it. Do that strap idea underneath the bottom, and screw it into the bottom of the planters. Then they'll stay put. Fill it with some potting soil, which is a little bit more lightweight, easy for you to manage, putting it in there, and helps to retain moisture in the soil as well. And I think you'll get really good, healthy plants. Thanks so much for the phone call. 9:21 in the morning. We'll be right back.
And now, back to my dad, Lou Manfredini, on House Smarts Radio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
That's my girl. Thank you, Carmen. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Allison is in Evanston. Hi, Allison. You're on WGN. Good morning.
Hi, Lou.
How are you?
Oh, fine. I was dancing to your music, too.
Oh, I like that. You know, I had a girlfriend in seventh grade named Allison. That wasn't you, was it?
Oh, I don't think so. You can't be as old as I am. I'm tired. And I was 17 again last year.
Oh, very nice. How can I help you?
Well, I was just wondering. We had a tenant who, I don't know, no common sense. I don't know, or maybe because his wife divorced him. Who knows? And I can see why she did. But he tried to move a sofa through the front door of our two-flat building and cracked the wood, which I guess is there to keep, you know, the door solidly closed so the air doesn't come in or blow out your heat.
You mean he cracked part of the door jamb?
The door jamb, right, the whole door. And he did it at the front door, he did it at the hallway, entry door, outside staircase before you even get upstairs to where the apartments are, and he did it at his apartment unit. And one of the fellows who, I guess, he asked for something, and one of our employees went over to help him. He said, "Do you know that these kids have put stickers all over your brand new doors with their names, and it's got glue and glitter and not only knows what on it?" I said, "You got to be kidding."
Okay.
I said, I'm going to do a walkthrough. But I was just wondering, one friend, we had a carpenter come by, and he said, truthfully, I know you like a book. And since you've been there, and the landlord sold this building to you well over 30 years ago, that you would want it done right. He said, but it would cost you to take all of that wood out and just to replace that part of it, $1,500. And that doesn't include the cost of the wood, because the carpenter would have to come there with the miter saw and everything and do the work. And I think I understand that, because we built our cabin in Minnesota and did the same thing, and even with my husband's man cave.
So you've got an estimate of $1,500 to repair how many door jams?
No. Each door jam.
Oh, you need a different carpenter.
You need a different carpenter.
Yeah, that's
a lot, too.
Yeah, that's how many doors are we talking about?
We're talking about four.
Okay, and the doors themselves are fine. It's the door. Is it just the door stop that he damaged, or the jam? In other words, when I look at the door jam, right, the part that the door is hanging in there, the trim that is on both sides, you know, that are on the wall, that's fine?
Some of them are correct and some aren't.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, and let me ask you this. Are the doors themselves, you know, anything special, or are they just regular six-panel doors?
They're just regular doors.
Nothing fancy?
No, nothing fancy. We didn't get that far yet because we had all of our window frames with aluminum many years ago, and we changed all the electric.
Right. I mean, you could go to like Builder Supply Outlet, right, where Lindsay talks about all the time, and they have interior doors that are set up pre-hung that you can probably buy the whole door, the whole kit and caboodle, for $200, right? Depending on what you choose, and then you can go higher than that as well. But I mean, for them to say it's going to be $1,500 per door to do that trim,
I think because it's been painted and no one has damaged it.
Right. But I mean, this is the kind of thing that you have to sort of assess to say, yeah, wait a minute, do we want to take the door out, put a whole new jam in? Does that make the most sense for the money that we want to spend, or is it a question of we just replace all the doors? Now, hopefully with your tenant, this is something that you have a security deposit or something to get some sort of compensation out of, because it sounds like, based on your description, you know, they did all this damage and they should be the ones paying for it all. But a good source for you, as I've mentioned before, is the National Association of the Remodeling Industry, NARI.org, NARI.org. Go to that website, type in your zip code, look for carpentry contractors, get a different estimate to do that work. It should be a lot less than $1,500 per door just to repair the trim. Appreciate the phone call. 9:30, we'll get to news right after this. Welcome back. Hey, Blackhawks fans, time to get ready for another exciting season of Chicago Blackhawks hockey. Single-game tickets for the team's preseason home games at the United Center go on sale on Monday, August 6th at 10 a.m. The Blackhawks preseason home opener is scheduled for Tuesday, September 25th against the Red Wings, then the Senators on Thursday, September 27th, and conclude preseason on Saturday, September 29th. Against the Blue Jackets. Purchase your tickets starting Monday, August 6th at 10 a.m. at ChicagoBlackhawks.com. That's ChicagoBlackhawks.com. And save the date. Single game tickets for the Blackhawks regular season home games go on sale Monday, August 20th at 10 a.m. I am excited for Chicago Blackhawks hockey for sure. And you'll hear every game right here on WGN. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. This is Phyllis and Wilmette. Hi, Phyllis. You're on WGN. Good morning.
Hi, Lou. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have some moisture in my refrigerator. The vegetable and fruit drawers are all wet. The fruit and vegetables are spoiling. They're all full of moisture. And the refrigerator is only 2 years old. It's a GE. It's got the freezer on the bottom. I can't afford to keep throwing food away.
No. So it's the freezer's on the bottom with a drawer?
Yeah.
Does
but
that...
the vegetables in, are in the top
right.
top portion.
Right.
And I just turned, this for the summer, I turned the temperature up one notch for the refrigerator because my milk was going sour.
Wow.
So,
okay.
And the refrigerator's only 2 years old.
All right. Have you noticed at all when you use this appliance, do the doors somehow, like they don't close all the way?
Oh, no, they're closed. They're tight.
They're tight.
Yeah. Right.
Here's what I want you to do. Before you call for repair, I need you to unplug it.
Unplug it?
And
okay.
defrost it. I have a feeling that something got left open, and the coil, which is behind the back wall that you can't see, is frosted over, and it's not allowing you to do the dehumidification. The other thing is, underneath it, there is a drip pan. Behind that wall, too, there's a pan behind there that collects the moisture, that there's a drain that might be clogged and that's causing a high humidity level inside the fridge. Now, if you unplug this, if you take the food out, put it in a cooler, open up the doors, unplug it for like 6 hours.
Wow.
And plug it back in, put all the food back in, and see if it improves. If it doesn't, then you need to have someone come out. I bet there's a drain that's behind the back wall of the fridge that's clogged. It's holding on to moisture, which is why you have high humidity levels in the unit.
But there's no way for me to... I mean,
you
there's
can't get
a
at that
panel
drain.
In the back of the refrigerator.
I'm sorry?
There's like a panel behind the refrigerator.
On your particular unit that you can remove?
I don't think I can remove that.
Right, right. I'm trying to give you some tips on what you can do yourself to see if it makes a difference.
Okay.
And
so unplug the refrigerator.
6 hours. Open everything up. Pull the drawer open. Take everything, put it in a cooler. 6 hours, everything open. Let it defrost. So what do we got? What do we got right here? It's court. So at 10 o'clock, I want you to do this.
Unplug it, huh? Okay.
And at 4 o'clock, you can plug it back in and put everything back in and see if it improves.
Okay. All right. We'll try that.
All right, Phyllis. I appreciate you calling this morning. Let's talk to Pat in Naperville. Pat, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Lou?
I'm good, sir. How can I help you?
I applied the driveway sealer, and the rain came. And
uh-oh.
So the driveway sealer got onto the sidewalk, and I would like to clean up the sidewalk. How do I do that?
Okay, let's think about this. The black, it's black, I want you to try using, how are we going to get underneath that? A wire brush first as it's dry. Don't put anything on it. And use a wire brush, and you should have a little graining in the sidewalk to go back and forth to clean it up. Get as much as you can off of there dry. And then after that, I want you to use a little CLR, a 50-50 mix of CLR and hot water, and then use that same scrub brush to scrub it with the grain, and that should get the rest of it out.
Okay.
First with the brush dry, then with the CLR with the brush after you get most of the stuff up when it's dry.
Okay.
All right.
Will do.
Thank you, Pat.
Thanks.
Appreciate your calling this morning. 9:44 in the morning. We'll be right back. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Larry is in Beloit. Beloit, Wisconsin, Larry?
Yes, sir. Right on the borderline of Wisconsin and Illinois.
That is a beautiful town. I've been to Beloit, and it's one of those kind of hidden gems, I think. How can I help you?
Hey, first, I just want to say how intelligent you are.
Oh, stop it. It's smoke and mirrors. I got them all fooled.
But I called you a couple months ago, and I have a GFI in my laundry room, and I went out to my garage to work and turn on the radio and stuff and plug it in, and I wasn't getting anything. So I called an electrician, replaced the GFI. It worked good for about 2 days, went back out in the garage, plugged it in, and nothing. So I keep on hitting the breaker switch here in the laundry room. Some days it'll stay on for 2 or 3 days. Another time it might be 2 or 3 hours. It might be 4 or 5 days it stays on. And I went down to the main box downstairs, and I know which breaker switch it is. And somebody said, oh, it might have a little corroding on it, some rust or something. And
right.
I moved, I moved it back and forth numerous times, and the other day it did stay on for about 5 days, but it won't stay on.
So the actual breaker in the panel keeps popping?
Yes, in the laundry room, yeah.
Wait, no, but is it the GFCI breaker itself pops or the breaker in the panel?
Nope, it's not in the panel, sir, because I went down there just, I'm not an electrician, but I know when that pops, and then it shows a red on
that switch. So that's staying on, but it's but it's the GFI itself that keeps popping.
Yes, sir, and we just replaced it about 2 months ago.
And the electrician, as far as you know, did not replace any wires.
No, I was right here with him. Retired now, so.
Got it. Well, I mean, if that device keeps popping, okay, and you did pay this electrician to do this, right? I'd call that person back and say, look, that GFCI that you put in, did he supply the device?
No, he went to one of the local places.
Right,
here
but in other words, he bought it and he installed it.
Yes.
Right, and then you paid for it all. So typically, if you hire a contractor to come do that and they supply their own devices, they also warranty the devices. Now, it's possible that you have a bad device. It could be that simple, okay? And if that's the case, because, these are mechanical devices, and it's possible you got a bad device. I would talk to them about doing that and replacing the device. It's also possible that somewhere there's a wire that's got a short in it, or it's bare somewhere, rubbing against a pipe or something and giving you an occasional short for some reason. And it may be that the electrician says, look, okay, Larry, I'm going to replace the device. No problem. Should be fine. Works great. Here it is. And, but then all of a sudden, if it pops again in a couple days, we've got a problem with a wire somewhere. And it wouldn't surprise me if they need to come in and pull new wire to that device to get it to work.
Okay.
But start with the device. The fact that you hired this person to do the work, that device is warranted for what you paid them to do. And the easiest thing for the electrician to do is to bring a new device, swap it out, which will take an electrician, 10 minutes, and see what happens.
Okay. I'll do that.
All right, sir. Thank you so much for calling. I appreciate you listening. By the way, we went this week to take our youngest son, Max, and my nephew, Jack. We went to go look at Lawrence University up in Appleton, Wisconsin, which is a beautiful town. Beautiful, Appleton. You get WGN up there, crystal clear. All the way. We listened the whole time. And we stopped at a place for lunch called the Pullman House, right along the Fox River there. And I had one beer, because we were outside. It was a beautiful day. And they had all this, they had Spotted Cow, which, is awesome, which I love. But you know what I had, which was my nephew Jack is a Packer fan. Okay. I don't know what happened. I think really my Matt and Ellen have somehow failed, as parents, because the kid grew up in the Chicagoland area. He's a Packer fan. Yeah. It's something, it's kind of like, we kind of hold it against them for that reason.
Of course.
I had the Packer Pilsner.
Oh.
It was delicious.
Interesting.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it was like old style or something, but it was so good, and it was cold. Oof.
Ooh.
Cold beer for lunch.
Packer Pilsner.
All I wanted to do was stay there all day, but then we had to drive back. Anyway, Appleton, Wisconsin, beautiful town. You're listening to Lou Manfredini on House Smarts Radio on 720 WGN. We'll be right back.
Happy trails to
what button?
Until
this button?
We meet again.
Thank you so much for listening. Domati for doing the news. Joe on sports. Lindsay for producing. Bob Ferguson for sitting on the couch all day, pushing all the buttons. Thank you so much. And you, the listeners, and Barbara in Crown Point, Indiana. Hi, Barbara. You're on WGN.
Hi, Lou. It's good to talk to you like everyone else
does. Oh, that's very nice. How can I help you?
Well, I have a question, and I'm a little bit nervous about these lithium batteries. I have a floor sweeper that I love because I don't have the darn cord to step over and fall over as I'm moving around. So I got this floor sweeper that has an ion battery that I charge up, And it's good for about 45 minutes, and it gives me enough time to run around the kitchen or in front foyer or wherever and kind of sweep up things. And I also have a leaf blower that has an ion battery. I hear so much about these doggone batteries that explode. Should I be really worried about having these in the house or in the garage? And if they make them and they do this, why do they keep making them?
I mean, there are certainly instances where there have been issues with lithium-ion batteries. It seems to, most of the stories when you hear about it have been issues on airplanes because of compression and tight spaces. For the most part, the lithium-ion batteries have been around for quite some time on those leaf blowers that you talk about, the sweepers that you have, all of that, and have gone and worked without much issue. So I wouldn't really worry that much about it. The nice thing about lithium-ion batteries as opposed to the traditional NiCad batteries are they don't have a memory, meaning that when you recharge them, they don't get to a certain point and don't charge fully. The lithium ions charge all the way, and the benefit is they hold a charge longer, so that if you have your sweeper fully charged and then you don't use the sweeper for a couple weeks, it retains, you know, like 85% of that charge just sitting there.
Okay,
so
lose it. Yeah,
I honestly, there's way more things you should be worrying about, Barbara.
Don't worry about
this. What are you going to have for dinner tonight?
Heavens.
Worry about that?
I don't know.
That's right. Worry about that. Make a good choice. Stay away from all the fried food.
Don't worry about this battery being in my house.
No,
over
do
here,
not.
Then.
Do not. You're not using one of those hoverboards, are you, where you get up on the hoverboard?
No, that's another thing. Yeah. Now, that's not in an airplane.
No, stay away from the hoverboard.
Oh, what, believe me, at my age, I'm not doing hoverboarding.
Thank you for calling, Barbara. I appreciate you being part of the show, and thank you all for listening as well. John Williams is standing by.
Hi, Mr. Fix-It.
How are you? Nice to talk to you once again. What do you got coming up today?
Thanks for letting me on your show. I was on just a little after 8 o'clock, and you made me tell a humiliating story.
It was not humiliating. It was a humorous, fun, self-effacing story.
Well, it was that, but when somebody else makes you do it... I think self-effacing, the operative word...
Oh, it's self. Self. Right. Well, I figured that since all I was trying to do was share your good humor and your perspective in life with an audience that perhaps didn't hear you right out of the box on a Monday morning as I did.
I believe the new phrase is a Lou-effacing story, where Lou makes you tell a story about yourself.
What do you got coming up?
Not want to. Lots to do. We'll feature some music from Lollapalooza. Ooh. This is going to be fun. And extravagances you've allowed yourself. We'll do that on the show today, too. Good show, Mr. Fix-It.
Thanks. Have a good one.
Lou and Lindsay always turn in a gem.